Today on our program, we're being joined by State Senator Jesse Green. Good to have you here, Senator.
Hey, good to be back.
And also joining us, we've got Representative Chad Bain. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, here we are. You had really one topic I wanted to invite you in to talk about. Governor recently, of course, vetoed the eminent domain bill. A lot of controversy at the end of the session going through there. And I know on the, after that, when it was in the governor's hands, I remember Senator Green saying, hopefully she'll veto that. And I remember, Chad, you're saying, no, I hope she signs it. So there's difference of opinion there on that. So let's kind of set up what's happening. It's not that you don't disagree. Things need to be done with eminent domain. I believe that's it. It's a matter of process, I guess.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure if she was going to veto. I could see the reasons she would sign it. I could see the reasons why she wouldn't sign it. But Chad and I went down a couple weeks ago, and we met with her and had good discussions with her and her attorney. And she didn't say she was going to veto it at that time, but we were kind of inclined to think that she had a lot of reservations. But I think it's really important that we look at her official statement that she gave. She gave a 2.5-page statement as to why she vetoed the bill. And in that statement this morning, I reviewed it just to refresh my memory. And the first point that she made was that Southwest Iowa Renewable Energy Company is down by Council Bluffs, and they have a project that is in the works where supposedly they have 100% voluntary easements to put in a pipe that goes into Nebraska and accomplishes what they want. Supposedly, with the new rules in House File 639, it would have shut that project down. I have questions about that, because if they have 100% voluntary easements, I'm not sure why they couldn't use eminent domain even with the new bill. But regardless, that was a concern that she had, is how is this going to impact people who have been doing the right thing currently? And so I sympathize with that. And that was the first time I heard that argument since the beginning of this whole debate about that particular project in Southwest Iowa. The second point that she made was safety. This didn't lead to whether she was for or against or concerned about the safety, but she did highlight that people have safety concerns about the CO2 project. She highlighted that the Department of Transportation oversees 5,300 miles of carbon pipelines around the country, and they haven't had fatalities, and some of the fears that some people have here in Iowa as to what could happen if the pipeline goes in. So she addressed that concern that's been coming up from the public. But I think the biggest concern that she highlighted in her veto was that House File 639 impacts all hazardous liquid pipelines. This includes crude oil, refined petroleum products, liquefied petroleum gases, anhydrous ammonia, liquid fertilizer, liquid carbon dioxide, alcohols, and coal slurries. And so she very clearly said in her statement that she feels the bill goes way too broad as to what needs to be addressed with property rights in the state of Iowa. And then lastly, I disagree with her on this point. She talks about the economic impacts if we don't do some of these projects. And right away, I've always been taught since I was a kid, if you respect property rights, that's going to produce wealth. And so in this situation, the Constitution comes first before the economics. And so I would depart from her on her opinion on that. So at the end of the day, I think there's consensus that we can talk about eminent domain as it relates to carbon and just talk about carbon. I think we can all agree that carbon is not the same as oil and natural gas and some of those other products. And so they should not be able to use eminent domain because of that.
Mm-hmm. Representative Bain, when you first started, you had some thoughts about what was going to be happening. Your big issue was for private benefit, I think, or not necessarily a public benefit.
Yeah, it was kind of unique to see the different views that she had. So when we went down and talked to her, I kind of got into the set of glasses that I put on when it came to CO2 and environmental CI scoring and stuff like that, and how we ended up where we're at. And so when we were conversing back and forth, her thought process was more pragmatic, like, well, hey, I get those points. I don't necessarily argue those points, but we're here now. We've got federal rules and regulations that say that we need to improve our CI scoring in order to have ethanol and jet fuel. And so to me, she just took a very pragmatic approach. And there was nothing more than that. She simplified it down to that. And every time we would go back and forth, she wouldn't necessarily say those points are bad. And as we went, or as our discussions went, and it turned into 639 being too restrictive, I thought when that first bill got presented to us, the utility board was too broad when they said it's a utility. I don't think CO2 is a utility. I think that was pretty simple. That was something glaring when it first came out. And I said, well, wait a minute, that's not a utility. Mm-hmm. If we're allowed to go so broad as to say CO2 is a utility, you can use eminent domain for about anything. And that was just a knee-jerk reaction to the ruling. And so when 639 came out and I saw that it closed that down and was more restrictive, I was pretty excited to get that done. Because you hate to get involved in the IUC and their rulings and their professional approach to stuff. That's what we have them for. And so I like to defer to those boards in a lot of cases as the professionals. And so in this particular case, when I saw that, I thought, man, that's not okay. You can't really put that as utility. I picture phone lines, electrical lines, stuff like that, where you can come in and use eminent domain. And when they included CO2, I was like, whoa, pump the brakes here. Yeah. So it became clear to me that something needed to be done. And so if the governor's pragmatic approach was to say, hey, this is too restrictive, that argument came out late. You know, that wasn't an argument that was talked about early when this thing was being bounced back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so any of those arguments that come out late, I don't really like those as much because they've kind of missed the point of the arguments that have been going back and forth. And so all of a sudden I felt like that was something that was sidetracked and late in the game. So for CO2, you know, as a utility, I think that's not proper. I cautioned her on vetoing it. She didn't listen to me, unfortunately. And so now we're here. So I think it would be best to call a special session, come in. If it's too restrictive, let's figure out what we need to do to make sure CO2 is not included in that, but doesn't cross over into the other things that she's worried about. Mm-hmm. So I think there's another area we can agree on, and we can come in, sit back down, and talk about.
So Jesse, both Chad and Carter Nordholm, the other representative in your districts, have signed off on the petition for that. It's into the hands of the Senate, and right now Senator Whitford doesn't seem to think that, you know, that we're going to have enough people to sign a petition.
Yeah, well, when you look at the final vote tally, I think it was 27 senators that voted for the bill, so it would take 34 to override the veto. We're a long ways away from having that. But from my conversations with my colleagues, I think there's plenty of interest in having a conversation about a new bill. And even the governor in her statement, she highlights that the House File 639 did highlight some things that we can agree on and that we can make progress on. So she's already alluded to the fact that she's willing to have a conversation. And so as long as all the parties are willing to have a conversation, I think we should encourage those conversations. Once we agree to a bill, call a special session. I don't think this should wait till next session. We have landowners that have real fear and concerns. Having eminent domain hanging over their head is not necessary. And so I've been very bold in saying that we need to come to the table and start talking.
So I know you had proposals, at least on the Senate side. I know you had even brought up something you want to kind of paraphrase a little bit about what you were looking at, because you had helped put together some plans for the Senate.
Yeah, so ironically, House File 639 was the only bill that I didn't co-sponsor on. There's tons of pipeline bills and that I did co-sponsor, and that was the one that for some reason everybody was fascinated by. So eminent domain, we can all agree on, should not be used in this project. It's not a public use. So let's come to the table on that. How can we also do things that won't disrupt current projects that are in the works? Well, let's go outside the corridor and allow those companies to get voluntary easements. And I think that's a win-win for everybody, and that we can put this issue behind us. And so let's just keep it simple and stick to those two topics, okay, in my opinion.
In the meantime,
well,
you signed the petition. You'd love to get back in there and yes, start working it out. You'd, at least on the House side.
Correct. I'd love to get back. And one of the things for public perception and the way, you know, Iowa corn growers and renewable fuels, I want to make clear as to my thought process on it. 45Z, the federal layout of this thing, there were three main categories that needed to happen. They had a, we have to qualify to get into jet fuel. You had to have a certain carbon indexing scoring. It was a scoring system that's put out. We don't really know who's making that up and what that means and how it goes, but they all say, again, Iowa Corn Grower says, we need this. We need to lower our CI scoring. There was a natural gas requirement, and there's some sort of farming practice, and again, it's left to interpretation. So we've got these three provisions that are left up to major interpretation. Well, I age myself a little bit here, but Publishers Clearinghouse used to come out. They'd send you out a letter. It says you won $10 million.
Yeah.
You open it up. Well, you didn't win $10 million, but you had a chance to win $10 million if you do this, this, and this. And that's where I see this whole argument going. There's been this carrot of jet fuel. Hey, we got to get into jet fuel. We need this market. We need this market. We need this market. And all this is doing, this pipeline is doing, is giving us a chance to potentially get into jet fuel. And the other two requirements, even the CI scoring that they say it's going to lower, is ambiguous. They don't know. No one really knows what it means. And I brought that up to the governor, and she was going to look into that. But point being is, I don't think anyone knows. It's left up to the EPA and the interpretation of 45Z. So when renewable fuels come out and says, hey, we need this for 40 cents on our corn, and farmers are like, well, hey, we really, really need this. Again, it's just a chance to get into jet fuel. It's not guaranteeing anything. And I think that's a point that we got to make sure that we're clear on, and that, that the legislators know that, because I think they're being lured by that. And I think it's influencing some stuff down there, and it's influencing stuff across the state of Iowa, when in all reality, no one's been able to answer those three criteria, and no one knows whether we can actually get into this. But you hear commercials on the radio that say, we need our 40 cents or we need our dollar, and this is what we need. We need this pipeline. We have to do it. There's no other choice. And so I think that's by design. I think that's been the federal government used that. It was the Inflation Reduction Act, and it was a hook into side farming. They know farmers are emotional, and we're going to sit here and say, hey, we need our 40 cents or our dollar or whatever they claim it's going to be on this jet fuel stuff. And we have to have a new market. We can see ethanol is dying in a sense. It was never supposed to be around forever. It was a 25 to 50 year cycle, and we're getting into this thing. So we need jet fuel. I'm not willing to go to the lengths when I read the provisions to say, hey, we have to do this. I think we can take the lead as the state of Iowa. If Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, Nebraska, if we're the odd man out, we're a big enough producer that I think we can influence. I think it's time that we take the lead on this and say, hey, enough's enough with this. I'm not okay with you guys telling us what we need to do and leading us around with provision after provision and then not even knowing whether we're going to get it. So that's kind of the set of glasses that I put on. I saw that early, and I've just kind of fought this thing from the beginning.
Makes sense to you, Jesse?
I think there's a lot of room for agreement amongst legislators, and we just need to, I think the emotions have died down since the end of session. Mm-hmm. I think people are willing to start talking, and we just need to communicate.
There's a lot of, like Chad said, a lot of kind of unanswered on this, why we need this and why we should go forward with it. A lot of unanswered questions about that, but on the other hand, there are practical things that can be done.
Yeah, there's definitely practical things that can be done. I wish at the end of the day that we would remember that it's the federal government that created this problem. And yes, the state does have a role in the use of eminent domain, and we need to come to the table and clear up this question about when eminent domain can be used. But outside of that, we need to be respectful to the governor and other legislators that we didn't create this problem. The federal government did, and if we need to be talking to our federal delegation about the future of some of these tax credits.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also saw the use of eminent domain when we had Dakota Access go through and the issues with that too. So it's one of the, is it a public interest?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, there's a big charge there, and when we use it, and it's very emotional, landowners, and rightly so. I mean, you've been there forever, and now someone's going to come across and tell you. Some of this stuff spills over in a drainage district. We came across mm-hmm. this a lot with supervisors, and a lot of the time, I would agree with their original premise. Hey, what do you can just come across and dig a ditch across my thing to get water across it, or you can come on whenever you want. And I'm like, well, I'm for property rights. You can't just come on. And you read the drainage district laws, and they allow you to do that. And so you do have to have something there that allows for these things to happen, because you can't just say, no, we're closed for shop, we don't want any of this stuff. And so there does need to be looked into, and it's emotional. And I agree with Jesse when it comes to just the emotions kind of cooling down.
Yeah.
Come back, walk through some of these things. I'd love to sit down with as many senators and House members as we can that are on opposing sides of this, and just even the governor again, and be able to talk through some of this stuff and say, okay, here we're here now. Let's work through what we need to get through. And that's where a special session and is a big deal, and that's
so
what I promote.
You would like the special session to sit down and do that. Jesse, you're going, I think we could do it before we call a special session.
Yeah, I don't think we should make a public spectacle out of it. I think we should sit down in a room like adults and hash it out, and then come out united. And I think we can do that. In the 5 years since I've been at the legislature, we've yet to have a caucus where the House and the Senate come together in one room. I think it's time that we start doing that so that people can be on the same page.
Big room.
Yeah, I'm on the same thing. I do think the pressure of a special session... I think we can get together and cordially get through this together. I hope it would not turn into that. And I know, again, back to emotions slowing down. But I do think it's going to lead into the next session if we're not careful. So that's why I want the special session to kind of get this out there. There's already some fired up House members that are wanting to hold some of the governor stuff up. And you're sitting here like, hey, we don't want to stop everything dead in its tracks. Now, for the record, a lot of times I don't mind government slowing down.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that. But the true approach of both sides getting together, I think, would be huge and going from there.
I think, yeah, ideally, try to get it done before the next session. Because if it's still around when the next session starts, it's going to pretty well suck the air out of the room.
Well, so one thing you see happening here is you see a lot of politics where people are running for governor or Congress or whatever, and they use these types of situations to grandstand instead of actually making progress on issues. You see it with other special sessions or sensitive topics where the bill is predetermined as to what we're going to be voting on, and then we call a special session, we come in, vote, get out of there, and do our jobs. And so this is such a sensitive conversation to where I think just a handful of people in each chamber and sit down with the governor and say, what can we agree to and make it happen?
Yeah. Well, and he has more experience than I do, and I don't doubt that that's the right way to go. My thought process, though, is that lends itself to more leadership-driven problems.
Okay.
Not problems, but solutions. So if the leaders get together in that particular case outside of a special session, they're going to kind of formulate what happens. And I think in this particular case, I want as much input as possible. And so that's where I'd like to see a special session and even both caucuses get together. Mm-hmm. That way you've got the whole room together. There's no hiding. There's no interpretation of this guy said this. It's all the same out there. And I do think getting together in this particular case would be better than having a bill put out there.
With the leadership bringing it forward.
Because then you just don't get as much input.
Yeah.
And that's just a thought process. Mm-hmm. I can't argue it either way, because maybe with all of that thought process, nothing gets done. Yes. And it does turn into what he's thinking. So
what do you hear from your constituents? First, I'll go Chad first. I'm sure the people have been, again, when you go to different meetings and different things, they bring it up and talk about it.
Yeah, by and large, there's been support there, in my opinion, for 639 and the approach that we took. But sometimes some people don't want to be confrontational. They're not going to come up and yell. And sometimes it goes either way. But by and large, the feedback that I've gotten has been positive as far as 639 and what it does and the protections that it puts in place.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, Jesse, because you got a bigger district, so bigger area to cover, a lot of differing opinions.
Yeah, so the key is getting out there and talking to people and seeing them face-to-face and answering their questions. Sadly, the media, I think, has done a pretty poor job of explaining this situation. You know, some newspaper headlines said after the Senate voted to eliminate eminent domain for carbon pipelines. It's like, that's not true at all. This, we're defining common carrier as to who can qualify for eminent domain. This is all about more than just carbon pipelines. This is about other types of projects. And so from my observation, about half the media, I felt, did their job in accurately depicting what the bill actually did. And then the other half of the media was either just not doing their job. And so with the result of that, the public was kind of confused, misled. And so it's my job to go out there and explain to them and have those conversations as to what the situation actually is.
Okay. So what do you think? Where are we going from here? Like, as we go into the summertime, will there still be discussions going on about maybe getting together, trying to get some things together? Because right now, I'm not seeing the Senate having enough to petition for a special session.
The conversations are happening, but like as far as a special session, I think that's going to require us to, for one, have a caucus. So we haven't called a caucus about it, but there's certainly more than enough interest to talk about a new bill, and I'm not sure at what point that's going to happen. I hope it happens before next session.
Mm-hmm. And you would like to get a special session going?
Yes, I absolutely would. And there's, I would guess, I don't know this for sure, this is not hot off the press, but I do believe there's going to be some leadership changes down there. And so that's going to drive some of this stuff as we go through the summer also, mm-hmm. because a lot of that stuff can change overnight. And depending on where all that stuff ends up, a special session with the current leadership versus either a special session with the new ones, and or how that's going to manifest itself going into the next session is, could make big changes and have big influences on how we approach it. But the stall is what I don't really want, and so I want to get it done now, as or at least as much covered as we can. We may not come to an agreement.
Okay. Going to be more coming out on it, I'm sure, as we go through the summertime, so folks pay attention. I thank you both for taking time to come in and visit and talk about this, because it is one of those things, yeah, it does create a lot of emotion, both sides. And the question is again, it's not that there's opposition, probably, to this piece of legislation. Yeah. There's still work that needs to be done.
Certainly.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.